Welcome back to another episode of the Talk 20s podcast. Ever wondered what you'd do if you were diagnosed with cancer tomorrow? Well, today's guest, Suet Amin, received that difficult news at just 16 years of age. And instead of letting his diagnosis bring him down, he channeled his ambitions to become a successful entrepreneur. His mindset was that if he wasn't alive in a year's time, he would want to go out doing something big and what he loves. Now 22, Suet is the founder of Saunderson Media. And in this episode, we discuss what it takes to become a successful young entrepreneur. And as ever, we'd love you to continue supporting the show. So hit that subscribe or follow button and let's get on with the show. In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. So welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to dive in with this because you have such an interesting life, I feel. But we always kickstart the podcast by asking people to look back at their phone, scroll back 365 days and show us a picture from this time last year, but something that no one's probably seen. Like, give us a little insight into your life. Go on.
Okay. Let me see.
Grab that phone.
Let me check. Okay. I mean, this time last year, everyone's seen what it was because I was in Dubai. So can I just use one of those?
Because
it's literally like, that's all the stuff is. But this is the photo. I don't know where I need to show it to. This camera? I don't know.
Let me see. Okay. So you're
sat in a group of friends in a very bougie high-rise place in Dubai called the SLS, smoking cigars and just thinking we're the shit, basically.
Okay. And is that like a window into your life? Like, is that what your life is like on a daily?
I think it's just more of a sort of reflection of how my life's kind of different now, in a sense where I'm a year on and I'm much more successful than I was back then. But back then I would think I had a much bigger ego and I was trying to do all this kind of like young entrepreneurship lifestyle stuff, drive the fast cars, smoke the cigars, you know, do all the stuff that's perceived as very cool on social media. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much like, I just kind of want to be low key, just me, just, you know, with my close people, just, you know, work hard, build my business. And then, you know, maybe in the future I'll get back to that. But I think that's why I think it's quite interesting is because that's literally what I was doing for the last 2 years, and how different it is a year on is, and I want to be completely different, you know, this year.
Well, we're going to talk about how you got into that situation, like from where you were at and how it's led up to that. But I think I really want to dive in like quickly to why that mindset shift has happened in the past year. So like, why do you feel that way?
I mean, I think everything when it comes to like young entrepreneurship and young business, like especially when you achieve some sort of, you know, success at a young age, and when you achieve it early, you start getting caught up in the whole thing of like, you know, I've got all this money, I'm young, let me go and like flex social media. And everyone's doing it as well. I mean, that's the whole glorified entrepreneurship life on social media. You see everywhere of all these guys traveling the world, private jets, fast cars, you know, girls, cigars and everything. And it's like, I kind of felt like I needed to do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm not saying it wasn't fun or anything and it was great. And, you know, you have, you know, a few months or a couple of years, whatever it is, just kind of like blowing off the steam of your hard work. But the reason for the shift is just because I'm in a position now where I've been running my business now for nearly 6 years. And whilst I've done a lot, I've never said this actually on a podcast, I'm not particularly actually happy with how far we're on, because I always kind of compare myself to people who start at the same time in the same industry. And, you know, why is their business 10 times bigger, 5 times bigger, whatever? And a part of it, you know, I boiled down to the fact that for 2 years, I just kind of decided I was going to live the lifestyle, young entrepreneurship business of lean company, travel the world, have very low overhead, spend a lot of money doing stuff that is very materialistic. Mm-hmm. And now my mindset is very much of like, what do I actually want to build for the future? What's the legacy? And, you know, what can I achieve now if I just really get my head down again and kind of put that grit and determination into things?
What's mad though is you are how old?
I'm 22.
That's crazy. Why are you in that situation at 22? Because I think someone speaking like that are probably in their 40s usually when they've had that kind of realization. Like, I feel like you've lived 1,000 lives and you're 22 right now. So how is that the case?
Yeah, I do feel very, very old because of all the stuff that I've
been through. You don't look old. It's just like,
it's amazing thing. As I say, I feel like I've kind of, I guess, expedited my life in a way, which is, it's got its pros and its cons.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like I've, lived, you know, the fact that obviously I have a business at 22 is crazy, and yeah. you know where I'm at. And
most people are just starting out. Most people are getting out of uni at that point.
And the fact that I've been actually doing it now for almost 6 years, but also the other stuff that's kind of come into play. So yeah, I do feel very old. So do you want me to just kind of dive into like the journey or like how
it
got there?
I think you need to, like, because a lot of people looking at this episode and they'll see the thumbnail, they'll see the clicks, and they'll be like, God, that can't be real. And even when, like, I got the message and someone, you know, one of our previous guests on the podcast was like, you have to interview Stuart. And I was like, is this kid for real? Like, I just couldn't believe it. But like, you speak to you and you're like, oh, it actually makes perfect sense. So I feel like our listeners need to hear that story. Like once I understood your backstory, I was like, oh, I can see how you've got to this point. And I really think our listeners should be able to hear your full story. So take us back to being diagnosed with cancer at 16.
Okay, well, that's a big bit to go back to. So 2018, January 2018, it was actually New Year's Eve of 2017. So 31st of December 2017, I was on the way to New Year's Eve party. I had a bottle of Prosecco, I think, between my legs. My parents were driving me to some high school party, and I scratched, I think, the left side of my neck around about here, and I felt a lump. And at the time, you know, I didn't really think too much of it. I brushed it off. You know, I was about to go to a party. I didn't really care too much. And also I had a lump in the middle of my neck when I was 4 years old. I thought it was very similar to that. So I just scratched it as if it was nothing. But during January 2018, more and more lumps kept on forming in my neck. And, you know, I knew clearly something's got to be wrong. Mm-hmm. I've come from a family of just always been doctors. So I'm luckily I went to my dad and said, Dad, something's up here. Mm-hmm. But my dad, you know, being a doctor, usually knows everything. Like, I can go to him. I never had to go to a doctor before. And he's like, doesn't know what's going wrong.
If you're a kid of doctors, you don't actually have to go to the doctor.
Never actually have to go. But then this is like the first time where it's like, I'm not sure, we got to go see it. I have the scene where it's like, okay, this is probably got to be a little bit serious. Mm-hmm. So I went through multiple tests over the month, and, you know, I did a lot of research of potentially what it could be and things like that. So I kind of like had prepared myself for the worst. Although, you know, my dad kept reassuring me it's not going to be that. It's not going to be, you know, anything bad. And then mid-February 2018, I got a call to come to the Beats in Cancer charity centre in Scotland, in the west of Glasgow. And, you know, my dad did a bit of research in the doctor, and he was like, don't worry, you know, he deals with other stuff, not just cancer. You know, this is just where he does a practice out of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in my mind, it was like, I'd already researched potentially what it could be. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really fazed. And then I go in and I unfortunately get diagnosed with a cancer called stage 2A Hodgkin's lymphoma at the ripe age of 16 years old.
Wow.
And at the time I was very unfazed, because I prepared myself, and it was more just like a state of disbelief and a state of shock of like, nah, this, you know, this can't be right. You know, I'm 16 years old. How has this happened? I've never, I barely drunk alcohol. I didn't smoke, didn't do anything. I was healthy. Like, had a very good upbringing and good life, came from good parents, to just be sort of struck with cancer. And, you know, I went home that same day, and I think then I was having a shower, and it all just hit me there at once. I just burst out in tears. Like, how has this happened to someone that's super young? But I guess how that, I guess, translates into businesses. I'd previous to this, like for the 3 years before that, I was like a little gamer nerd online.
Yeah.
I was playing Minecraft, FIFA, all of that stuff, and doing YouTube. And
as a lot of 13-year-olds do, I'm sure there's loads of listeners of the podcast that have been like, yeah, I was doing that in my teens.
That's literally all I did. I came home from school and I played Minecraft, played FIFA, and I uploaded it to the YouTube because I wanted to be that next big thing on YouTube. I idolized all these content creators of like, you know, they're making this money just gaming, really. And I was like, this is incredible.
A quick note from our sponsors, Zopa Bank, home of the Smart Saver. I don't know about you, but I'm getting FOMO from seeing everyone have the best time at festivals, seeing their favorite artists. So I'm getting ahead for next year. I'm trying to put a bit of fun into my savings by creating a savings pot in my Zopa Bank Smart Saver and titling it with one of my dream artists that I want to see. Then whenever I hear one of their songs playing, I add £1 to the pot. This time next year, I should hopefully have enough to go and see them live. You can get started with a Zopa Smart Saver with just £1. You must be aware that the longest notice period for a boosted interest pot is 95 days in exchange for the highest rate. Interest is paid monthly and is subject to variation.
So I learned about that. I got into the business side of YouTube. Eventually I branched into that because I realized that the YouTube game wasn't for me at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a young kid with a high squeaky voice. So I branched into the YouTube side and the business side. started learning all about that, started volunteering in various roles and jobs. And then when I was diagnosed with cancer, I had a job at a company. So I got my first ever sort of monthly salary paid job at a company called ESL, which is the world's biggest esports company. And I was doing influencer work for them and gaming work. And basically from getting cancer, that's how I kind of started and went and started building my business from there.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to that moment. You're 13, you 14, 15, you're kind of, you fell in love with gaming.
Yep.
But you went and got a job alongside school.
Yep.
At 16. Why?
I don't know. I think it really was the case of like, I was wanting to follow my parents' footsteps. I wanted to be a doctor all my life. But I think as soon as I found out that I could monetize gaming and monetize what I loved, I was like, I've got to find a way to do this. Otherwise.
And you couldn't wait till graduated?
I think it was the idea of just like, if I didn't, then I would probably then have to go down this other path, right? If I got to the stage where I was 18 and having to do uni options, or whatever, I would maybe have had to go and start being a doctor. So I was like, I need to work out how to do it now. And okay. It was the perfect time really, because it's like, you know, I was a kid. I didn't have really else, you know, much going on other than, you know, school and whatnot. So I could come home, do my homework and just enjoy like doing all that. And I was always a very ambitious kid as well. I've come from a family of people who've, you know, pushed me into working very hard from a young age, and failure isn't something that I'm allowed to have and I wasn't allowed to have. So I was always like having to do extra things, having to do extracurriculars and other stuff on the side. So I was like, you know, I just want to work hard and get a job on the side. And I think actually when I applied, it's interesting because I didn't think anything would come with it. I was just like, I've been volunteering for a while. Let me just apply for a bunch of jobs online. And then I got a lot of rejections, obviously, as you would as a 16-year-old kid. But this one guy took me on because he said he saw a lot of like me and himself from when he was younger. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, the idea was just really was I could do it alongside school. I was doing something I loved and I was getting paid for it. So it was a win-win really for me. And I was learning a skill as well at the time and, you know, getting ahead of my peers. And that was always a big thing for me, was like being the best and being ambitious and being sort of above everyone else in that kind of regard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm guessing like at 16, I was like pulling pints behind a bar and like serving as a waitress in a restaurant. Like, I guess it's not really different than having a Saturday job, except you're working for like one of the biggest companies, like in what you enjoy doing in the world, really.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing, really. Yeah. It's like, you know, you learn different skills doing different things,
very different,
right?
Skills.
Like, obviously, you know, but I think you learn a lot of good skills doing that. And I always do recommend to younger people, like, go and just get a job, whatever it is, because you learn, like, how to work hard, how to deal with other people. You know, you learn social skills, you learn confidence. So I think it is an important thing, regardless of, like, whether it's sitting on your laptop, dealing with influencers and gamers with a company that's based in Germany and talking to all these older people and learning from them, or you say pulling pints or doing a paper round, you learn a bunch of skills. And I think it is very valuable as a young person to get that extra extra skill set on the side.
For someone who has started like a, I guess, more of a corporate career younger, like how did you get people to take you seriously when you were the youngest probably person in the room?
When I was younger, I used to lie at my age and about who I was as well. So it's interesting. No, I wouldn't know. But I used to operate under a person named called Saul Anderson. So that's where the name of my company comes from, Solderson. I merged the two names. Ah. But I used to pretend that I was a couple of years older and I was this kid called Saul Anderson. So every time I was like, I never liked to just show my face online or whatever. So I would always, again, it was just because I think I was too worried about the fact that I was young. If I told them my real age, they would immediately say no to me. So
did you apply to the people who employed you?
They knew at that point, but this is when I was like 13 to 16, probably. Right. I always was like, I was Saul Anderson. I lied about my age. I lied about who I was. Cause I just, it was a mixture for like internet security, but also just to like be perceived as like an older person and taken more seriously. Okay. But when I applied for ESL, I was Suhimi and I was a 16-year-old kid. Yeah. And in terms of being taken seriously, I think it all just came down to like the fact that I'd already had like 3 years of experience in a sense. So like my experience kind of spoke for itself and my skill set that I've been building for 3 years. And also just like my hunger and my work ethic to like work as hard as other people who are older in the room. So I didn't really have all that many problems with it when I turned 16. When I was younger, I definitely did, which is why I kind of lied about it from there. But I think when you are younger, you fear that you might have those problems, which is why I covered it up. But I think if you're willing to just work really hard and put in the hours and prove yourself and prove your value, it doesn't matter what age you are, right? If you can provide value to someone, I don't care if the person's 40 or 16 or 30, whatever it is. If they're providing value and clearly wanting to work hard and do well and build and is an ambitious person, I don't think it should matter.
No, I completely agree. I do think like a lot of young people like come to us and they say like, oh, like, you know, I really want to grow. I'm so ambitious. Like I really want to do all these things, but like people just underestimate me because I'm young or because I'm fresh out of uni or because I've done all these things. And I think there's so much potential in young people, so many creative ideas, so many different ways in looking at things. And actually we've kind of all grown up just teaching ourselves how to do stuff through watching YouTube, through learning on Google. And like, I do think there's something to be said for that, like for sure that like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're in this digital era where it's like anyone of any age, they can pick up a laptop and go and build skills and learn.
Yeah.
Obviously,
and make money.
Exactly. Yeah. Take it back like 50 years ago, right? Maybe a 15, 16, 17 year old kid maybe could be underestimated, right? Because it's harder for them to learn skills at that point. But now you can literally go and buy a course, watch even free content and just learn and build skills and make money. And so I don't think there necessarily is that same stigma as much anymore because, you know, they're some of the most talented people are the youngest people because they are very 100%. Innovative, creative. They've self-taught, they've learned themselves. And that actually shows that they are truly ambitious and probably want to work harder than others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So going back to the cancer diagnosis, obviously a huge hit for you, but like, how did that reshape your mindset? You were obviously working at this company at that moment in time, whilst being at school, just told that you've got cancer.
Yeah, it was very tough to begin with. And as I say, I didn't want to believe it for a while, but things started going. But it was the biggest perspective shift. One of the two life-changing experiences I think I've had in my entire life that have really sort of altered the direction. The first one of the two. And it really just was the idea for me was like, I might die. Was basically what I'm having. Like, I might die. I might not be here in a year's time, 5 years' time, whatever. And since discovering online business and online gaming and trying to make money, I've always like been, as I say, I'm really ambitious. I always want to be the best. I always want to make something for myself, be known, have a little bit of clout and status and whatever. So I was like, I need to do this now because if I die, I've got to do something if I want to leave some sort of legacy. So that was a big perspective shift that was like, I've got to channel my ambitions, follow my dreams, just take action right away and do something now. So I was working at ESL from January to June. And then at the end of June, I decided, right, let me just stop working here. And then literally the day after I launched my business, which was essentially just this last 3 to 4 years of learnings put into Solderson. I was doing a very similar thing to what I was doing at ESL, but under my own business. And there was kind of two main things was one, yes, I wanted to channel my ambitions and make something for myself, but also is the idea of like, I kind of took my mind off of all the bad stuff that was going on in life. You know, I was sat in the cancer ward getting chemo, but I was so focused on my laptop trying to build a website or trying to sign a client or sending emails that I almost forgot the terrible situation I was in because I could still focus on building this digital business. So it really just came from like facing mortality and realizing that life can be short and I have to take action immediately and there's no reason I shouldn't do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I think you've got such a unique story. Like it is wild and inspiring to hear like how you kind of reframe that mindset. How are you doing now, health-wise?
I'm good. I think I passed my, you know, technically in remission for 5 years. And I think that was last August or September. Mm-hmm. I've not had any issues since I had the first sort of chemotherapy cycles and stuff. And I got put in remission. So I'm all good. I'm healthier than ever. It's everything's all fine. Yeah.
Glad to hear it. Despite starting that business, you still went to university though. Like, was it making money like at the time? Like, could you have technically just done it full time?
Yeah. In the first 6 months of running the business, we turned over 100K. And that was when I was in my sixth year of high school. So yeah, it was sixth year of high school, turned over 100K. So the business was making money and it was only me as well. So I didn't really have any costs. So everything was just profit to me. But I think there was a couple of reasons that I still went to university. One was just the fact that like, it was super new, the whole business world to me. Like I still wasn't 100% confident in myself, didn't know if I could do it. So it's like, I want to have that backup plan. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it was almost just like, I kind of like to fulfill a sort of thing that I needed to do for my family and my parents and tradition of like, you know, everyone in my family like went to university, they did well. We're always been academic. My brother's really intelligent. My parents are very intelligent. We're all very academic. So to do that. And then also, I never like lived alone. I never kind of had any of those like independent skills. And I wanted to like go and have that experience and learn how to be independent and have a bit of that uni experience. So I still went to university. I dropped out actually after 3 years. In Scotland, you do 4 years. So I dropped out after 3 years. But I definitely enjoyed it and it was a great, I'm very glad I went to it and did it. So yeah, I still did it.
And what was your business making whilst you were at university?
So I'd say the first year, I think we did 250K. And then I think we grew like 100% year on year. And then by the time I dropped out, I think we'd done like over a million in 1 year. And then I left after my third year in university. I think we did like maybe 1.1 million, I think, like after my third year of uni.
And that was when you decided, I'm not going to go to, it's worth not going to university.
Yeah, that was when I decided it was like the ROI and the potential, like something's going to suffer here because I was going to my fourth year. That's the year that you got to do your dissertation. Things get really serious to go and get your, you know, your first or your 2-1, whatever you want to get. And I was like, something will have to suffer and it's going to either be uni or business. And I didn't want, I didn't want to do badly in uni necessarily. And also didn't want business to suffer. So after 3 years in Scotland, you can leave with a sort of like a lesser degree. So I just went and left with like a normal degree with a distinction. Mm-hmm. And I think uni had served its kind of place for me at that point. Met a lot of really good people, learned a lot of good skills, had a really good time. And then I was able just to go and focus full time on the company.
A lot of people who have become entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs, will say, don't bother going to university. But you're the opposite. Why?
Yeah, it's super interesting. I always say this. It's like, I am very like, everyone that I see doing this online make money content is like, don't go into university, drop out, buy my course, whatever. And one is to feed their narrative of, you know, purchasing their online community and course, right? So that's one reason for it. Mm-hmm. And then two, obviously, like, you know, you probably know yourself, university isn't a place where you're going to learn, you know, entrepreneurship skills, because that's something that you have to hone yourself and skills you have to build. So it's not necessarily something that, you know, you're not going to go there and become, you know, the next Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or whatever, because, you know, you don't learn how to build a business at university. You learn how to be academic and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But why I think it was great for me, why I always think it's good, is because I think a lot of people are like, you know, go into things without having some sort of, you know, fallback option. And I think it's a great fallback option to have. You do still learn a lot of skills. You meet a lot of good people. You learn those general independence skills as well. And I think if you don't, you know, if you're not sure on what you want to do, and people go to university because they're not sure what they want to do, I think that's necessarily not the best thing. But if you're very sure in what you want to do, you know, you have to go to university for some things. You know, a lot of the best careers and roles and stuff come out of university. And also, if you look at like the top entrepreneurs, the ones who are super wealthy and rich, vast majority of them did go to university. So it's only really like this recent young narrative of people saying not to. And I think there's definitely a reason for people not to in some cases, but I still think, you know, you shouldn't force it down someone's throat to not go to. If you really think you want to go and you want to build different skills and you want to be academic and you want to kind of go a traditional path, then do it. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of probably really hard to sum this up and like in like a sentence or maybe a few different points, but why do you think you have been so successful at 22?
For me, it's like, I think I'm just willing to put the work in that other people won't. What people won't do. Like I kind of have this thing where it's like, I'll just do whatever it takes to like achieve and be successful. I think a lot of the issue, and especially with like quite a lot of younger people, I feel, is that a lot of people don't really want to work hard. A lot of people just kind of like want to skirt across the line, do the bare minimum, you know, collect the paycheck or whatever. And that's fine. That works for some people. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be very successful, you have to make the sacrifice and put the long hours in, put the work in, and just do whatever it takes. And that is simply the fact, I think, is one of the things that is reason for my success, is that I just work extremely hard and I outwork other people, and I will work morning to night and do whatever needs to be done to make it really. I refuse to like not let myself.
Mm-hmm. So how many hours a day are you working really?
Right now, I wake up at 8, start working at 9:30 and stop working at 11:30 PM.
Okay, that's a lot. That's
minus obviously dinner and gym and whatever. Okay. But yeah, I work literally nonstop all day long.
But that wasn't the case last year when you were traveling quite a lot.
No, last 2 years I didn't, for sure. But I think again, like I say, it's like different like cyclical parts of life. Yeah. And like, that's why I think that, you know, maybe business didn't grow as much as I wanted to do over the last couple of years, because I was, you know, enjoying myself and whatever. But I think if you really want to scale to certain levels in your life, you have to have those periods where you just sit and focus. And when I first started the business, all I did was sit there, focus and work, and I got myself to a certain level. Then I let off the gas for a little bit, and now I want to take it to a whole different level. So now I have to make those sacrifices again and just put the work in and do what needs to be done.
Do you kind of think about it in like little sprints sort of thing? Like, I guess sprint, head focus, head down, and then you get to look up and kind of enjoy it, and then sprint, focus, head down, and then enjoy it?
I think that's a good way to do it. It's like where you get a lot of work done, and more work than the majority of people in the world will get done in a certain period of time. And then you can lay off the gas for a little bit and enjoy the reap the rewards.
Yeah, it's a bit, because I think the one thing that's difficult about going, oh, I work this much, is that like, you've got to enjoy life as well at the same time. And I know you'll probably say an element of work is stuff that you enjoy, and that is actually what brings you joy, which is great. But at the same time, like, do you think that we have a problem with like hustle culture as young people as well?
I mean, I'm very much for the whole hustle culture personally. I'm pretty big for it, where it's like, I think that you need to, but I don't think it's to the point where it's like you hustle so hard where you like that's the only thing that should matter in life, and you put that above everything else. You don't have any time off. You don't have any time with family, and you also almost work yourself to death. Like that's an issue. I think like what I see hustle culture is like, if you want to succeed, you have to hustle for a certain period of time, otherwise you will never. And it's like, you can't just do it for a day, for a week. You got to put a consistent amount of time. The only way to see success and grow is like inputs over a long enough period of time. Like that's really how it is, and continual improvement over a long enough period of time. So I'm personally like team hustle culture, but it's less like, I don't want to force it down people's throats. If they don't want to, that's fine. But I don't think people should, you know, if I want to do it, you know, I don't think people should be like, oh, that's so bad that you're promoting in that way. It's like, that works for me. I love working. I get a lot of pleasure from like, you know, closing deals, signing new clients, speaking to people, seeing success in business. And then if I want to lay off the gas, then I will, you know, I'll take some time off or whatever. Or I'll go have my couple of years, like I did the last few years, where I, you know, travel and whatever, obviously still was working, but now it's like, I gotta be serious again.
Doing what you do, you meet a lot of like young entrepreneurs and other people who are trying to do similar things to you. What's the biggest mistakes you see them making that you're like, oh, I wish I could help you do that? Or from anyone who asks questions on social media about trying to do something like you, what's the biggest mistakes you see people coming across?
I think a lot of people just like have self-limiting beliefs is what I see a lot. I have a lot of like young people that reach out to me specifically, because I used to have this young entrepreneurs community called SXR that I used to run a couple of years ago. And then I just obviously have my YouTube now, and a lot of people reach out to me and they're like, they just don't think they can do it. And I think that's the first issue, is like, if you don't believe that you're going to be able to do it, that's the first step to being able to actually go ahead and achieve something. You might not be able to achieve it still after you believe you can, but you'll never be able to achieve it if you don't believe in yourself. So I think self-limiting beliefs is the main one. And it's easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. To have that belief in yourself. But, and especially if you have taken L's and L's and L's over a number of years, because it's not perfect. There's a lot of people who just don't see success for a lot of time, and then they just think, right, I can't do it. But I think having that belief in yourself is super important. And I think people who have those self-limiting beliefs need to work a way around that and start having that confidence and belief in themselves to just put in the work and know that, you know, if they do enough, they'll be able to achieve.
Do you think I'm guessing obviously you clearly have very little self-limiting beliefs. Do you think that's innate, or do you think that like you've just grown up that way, or do you think it's something you've had to kind of nurture and seen grow more over time? Like, do you think you've always just really believed in yourself?
I think a mixture. I think I definitely have, but I think it's, again, it comes with your environment. Cause I think if I didn't have the parents I have, I don't know if I necessarily would have, because they always push that idea of like, I can achieve and I can be the best and I can be the greatest. But if I didn't have that when I was younger, would I have thought that the same way? And there has obviously as well been periods of time in business where, you know, maybe I've been competing against larger companies and I didn't believe as much in myself. And then I did it and I was like, oh, actually, you know, we can do that. So I think it is a thing that nurtures over time. It's also related on your environment and what you tell yourself. So I think there's multiple factors that play into it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's take a quick pause for a second. If you're an OG listener of the podcast, you'll know I haven't always had the easiest ride with my mental health in my 20s. Our newest paid partner, BetterHelp, which gives you access to online therapists, is something that's helped me immensely. With BetterHelp, you can have your therapy sessions as a phone call, a video chat, or even via messaging if you prefer that. Whatever is the most comfortable version of therapy for you. To get started, you fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you'll get matched with a therapist, in most cases within 48 hours or less. You'll then be able to schedule therapy sessions sessions at a time that's convenient for you. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s. And that link will also get you 10% off your first month too. Let's talk about social media entrepreneurs and that kind of view that we see online of like, you've got to be driving the fast cars. You've got to be pictured in front of them. Especially, I think it's worse for guys than it is for women. For me, I get the ick if I see an Instagram account and it's like, oh, like Forex trading and all this kind of stuff. But I know a lot of like, I know it's so many young people get sucked into it and they're like, buy my course for X, Y, Z and you'll become a millionaire. And people do it thinking it's a quick win and it never works out for them. What's your view on the whole social media entrepreneur world?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I guess the picture show at the start was like, that's the kind of like what I was doing and portraying. Mm. And it's like, because, you know, you kind of think you have to and you get sucked in. It's like, this is the be all and end all. This is what success is. This is what young success is where you're surrounded by all the women, you've got all the fast cars and everything. That's what a lot of people get sucked into because they see people do that. But again, people portray that image simply because that is what taps into people's emotions. They kind of give you that idea of like, you're not enough if you're not doing this. And then they have some sort of hidden agenda behind it where it's like, go and purchase XYZ from me that will help
make
you,
that will make you enough
and help you get there. And for the vast majority of people, it won't. Some people they might do and they will do and you know, whatever. But a lot of this, the online courses are pretty terrible and they are just like a quick money-making scheme. And I mean, I see it a lot because as I say, I'm in this like young entrepreneur community and you know, you see, especially a lot on Twitter. Twitter is very big for it where people often expose a lot of these young guys who literally just, they'll take one trip to Dubai, take hundreds and hundreds of pictures of them with fast cars and living life for 1 week. And then they'll just repurpose that content to like try and portray this image. And it is pretty damaging because
it's so damaging.
It teaches, it says two things to other people where it's like, one, this is the lifestyle these guys are living. They start believing that when for a lot of the people it isn't, it's a facade and it's fake. Mm-hmm. And then it teaches them, as I say, you're not enough unless you have this. So now you've got to like be either get yourself down about it or buy my course for it. I think it's good when people use it as like spark and motivation and inspiration. Maybe you are materialistic and you're like, all right, I do want to drive a fast car. I do want to have that. So I'm going to use it to motivate me. But I think it can be negative where it's the part where people think lesser of themselves because of it. Yeah. And I think that like, I'd rather have sort of, you know, your intellect and your actions and your actual like business success speak more than like, you know, the materialistic, you know, cars and everything, which is like, again, anyone can go rent a Ferrari for a day and just say they're a millionaire.
Yeah, very, very true. What do you think the impact will be on that becoming, obviously, no one can really police that, can they? Like, what do you think the impact on that continuing to happen will have on young people? And also the fact that people are starting wanting to start businesses younger and younger and younger, you being a prime example of that. What do you think the impact will be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing it a lot, actually. I saw a few TikTok reels come up where it's like, you know, day in the life of a 13-year-old entrepreneur. And it's like,
yeah, I've seen one particular kid do that too.
I hate school. I'm stuck in the matrix and stuff. And it's like, okay, I got started when I was young, but like, come on, you're a kid. Like, I don't know why you're like, you need to go to school. You need to get a simple, like a level of competence and intellect. But I think, as I say, it can go one of two ways. One, it can be very motivating, inspiring, and you know, surge a lot of young people to decide, right, I want to make a change and I want to achieve this. Whether it is like that social media persona, whether it's just they want to achieve something more and they see other people doing it in whatever way that is and they go ahead and do it. Or it could go the opposite way where it like just starts making people a little bit more, I think incel is probably the word, where it's like they just start hating on anyone that's not doing this and anything that's not traditional. And you've seen that a lot over the last couple of months and years, and you see it more and more happen. So I think if it goes the good way, then that's fantastic because it will just teach people to like, things are possible and you know, whatever their definition of success is, they can go and grab it. But otherwise it could potentially, and I'm not really sure which way it is going. I'm seeing it split really at the moment.
Well, I didn't start my entrepreneurship journey till I was 25. And for most people I speak to, I'm a young entrepreneur, but now it's quite normal to have started your business and like first, like out of university. The first job I had out of university, I was a secondary school teacher. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it was 7 years ago now. And I think I would have found it petrifying if I'd have known that like the kids in my classroom that I was trying to teach French to, they were making 100K in their businesses outside of school. I'd be like, bonjour. That's the lesson for today. Because I just think like, it's crazy. Like if kids are going to school and they're doing stuff outside of school, which is essentially what you were doing. Like, that's mental from a teacher's perspective.
Yeah, I actually remember my my business teacher once pulled me, held me back after class because I got 97% on the business test. And then she was like, in a jokey way, like, what happened to the other 3%? Like, you run a successful business. But it's like, it's almost a bit like, yeah, a bit bonkers. But
that
I also
must have been like crazy for her though.
Yeah, but I also think it's like, it could be pretty negative to, I guess, the whole respect factor. Cause I've seen this happen a lot. Yeah. I've seen a lot of social media videos where it's like people just getting that ego because they're like, oh, I'm making more than my teachers. Why do I got to listen to them and stuff like that? And it's like, and the issue is, I think getting success and money too quickly has more negatives than I think it does positives. I think if you are someone who has been in it for a very long period of time and you've worked very hard and you've built it, you've earned it. You've also built the skills. Like if you look at it, if you were to go back, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever it was, for you to become very successful and earn money, you've had to do it for a very long time and build a lot of skills. Nowadays, like anyone, as they can go on their laptop, get a quick crypto pump, get a quick NFT pump, and they don't really know how to like manage that money, manage that process because they haven't built the skills, they haven't necessarily earned it, and then it gets to their head, they build an ego, and they think that, you know, like I said before, they think they're the shit, and then that's the problem that kings. I think I personally believe that like spending time and earning that money and building the skills that come with it make you a much better person than just getting it quickly and all at once.
I guess like the only real examples of when this used to be the case was like with footballers. Yeah. Like, so that used to be the way that this could happen. Like it would be like, oh my God, he's played football all his life when he was young. And then he got signed by Liverpool and Man United. And it's like, not Man United anymore, Man City. And like, oh my God, he's made it. Like,
I used to be a Man United fan.
Okay. but we're Liverpool over here. You're in Liverpool.
I used to.
Who just bought now?
I don't watch football anymore. But when I was very much into it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess that was the way. And I think at the time, a lot of people used to look up to young footballers because they were like, that's the way you make money. Whereas now you see all these people online who are giving you other routes where you can start your own business and you can do all of this. And now I think people are going, well, I can do that too. And then it's still happening for loads of young people. And then, like you say, like we have a great big... I don't know if it's a problem or if it's a great thing.
I think it can be a great thing, but I think it needs to be controlled in a sense. Not necessarily controlled where it's like, you know, a certain number of people have to make it. I think it's just more like your the way you perceive yourself has to be controlled. And you need to realize that like just because you've become successful, I mean, that's fantastic, it's amazing, good for you. But it's like you can't start like thinking you're better than everyone else at the age, because that's not how it is. It's like money doesn't make the man, like manners make the man, is that whole saying, right? It's like that is the issue, because when you're young and you're naive and you've not really like fully developed yet, you start just thinking you're bigger than you are really. And at the end of the day, you're like still a little tadpole in the whole grand scheme of the world, right? As much as you are, you know, doing well at that age.
Well, let's talk about building your business for longevity then, because that is what you are trying to focus on now in your business. What are the things you're going to try and put in place in the future so that, like you said, it's a business that becomes bigger than you, I guess, and kind of has a lot of more processes in place and I guess more of the boring stuff.
Yeah. Like, so I've been very much running it as a lifestyle business where it's been very lean, not an awful lot of people. And obviously, you know, I try to keep as high margin as possible to just, you know, enjoy my life.
And at this point, you employ how many people?
We have 15 people in total.
Yeah.
I think 10 are like full time and then the other 5 are like ad hoc project based or freelance.
Mm-hmm. And you turn over what at this moment in time?
This year, we're going to do over 3 million.
Okay. So where do you want to take it?
So yeah, the idea is that now it's like, I eventually do want to exit this business. Mm-hmm. And you know, that doesn't come as an easy feat. You know, you have to build a lot of stuff. I've actually been through the exit process already. I had a company try to buy us out in 2022. So I know how the whole process works. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So, you know, for me now, it's very much taking that to that next level and putting that effort in to get it to, you know, 20, 30, 40 plus people business to eventually then exit it for the goal is 8 figures in sort of profit there. So for me now, it's putting into place like a good management team and a good board in a sense. So now I have like a non-executive director who I meet with a few times a month and we have board meetings. I've got an operations manager who's now trying to come in and like run the team. And then the idea of like what I need to put in is a good management team in place, because when you go to exit your company, the valuation tends to be lower if it's too centralized on the founder and you, because obviously once you leave, so I need to have like a good team in place where it's like, if I was to leave the business, it could run and still grow and scale properly without me.
Yeah.
branching into different markets. But a lot of it is just very much like the systems and processes that you need to scale and maintain that many people, and also then that many clients and growth. And yeah, building that sort of management team. And then also just like being very boring on the numbers as well, and scale and bringing like the expenses back. Like I've literally set out and mapped out like the numbers and how they have to look for the next 6 years with my non-exec director, and like budgeted it to like the pence. Obviously things don't always happen like that, but like how much EBITDA we have to achieve every single year in terms of a growth percentage to then hit that exit point. So it's all very annoying and boring. It's like, you know, you want to do things and you want to, you know, spend here, whatever, but it's no, I'm being very, very strict to what I want to achieve. Because that's the end goal, is to sell this business and then start something else.
And how, obviously there's so many new things you have to learn like every single day. How do you continually take on all the new skills and kind of, you know, there's going to be stuff that you just don't know. So where
So I think it comes from a mixture of three places. One is then hiring specialist people to do, who are better than you at that role, to just do that role for you. Like I don't know anything about setting up processes, systems, operations, you know, project management systems. Like I could learn it, but it's probably makes more sense to bring in a specialist who knows what they're doing and they can set up and manage that. Right. So bring in specialists. Then two, buying the information from people who are kind of where I want to be and get to. So let's say I've got this non-executive director now, we pay him a retainer every month, and he's exited a digital marketing company for 27 million back, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And now he's basically just like, show me like all the boring, like corporate stuff that needs to be done to get there. So like kind of, and I'm learning new stuff all the time and every single day, but it's like, I wouldn't know that. And I would probably have to like discover it myself, but I've just, as I say, buying the information from him. And then also I think just like reading, you know, kind of learning online, watching YouTube videos, like the usual stuff. Like I read different books. So right now I'm reading a sales book to improve like our sales and pitching process. I just finished a book called The Hard Things, about doing hard things, by Ben Horowitz, who's is basically just a mass successful person who runs a VC firm, and just talking about literally like the whole process of him building and growing and almost failing like tons of different companies, and everything you've learned about like firing people, how to hire good executives, like all of these things. So those are the three main sources of information that I'm getting my learning from just now.
It's super interesting. And I think, you know, obviously you hire a lot of people of all different ages, and like you're like the third youngest in your company, or second youngest in your company. And it's crazy. Like, how do you navigate all of that kind of stuff as well, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think when I first started, because I mean, I first started when I was 17, I think it was a little bit harder. I mean, the first guy I hired was a similar age to me. And the first two people I hired were all relatively similar ages to me. Now that I'm 22, and I think it goes back to the whole thing of like you said about like, you'll feel like you're way older, you love the thousand lives. And it's like, I think a lot of people just, they think I'm older because of, you know, what I've been through, how long I've been in the space. They kind of respect the journey that I've been through, and they kind of buy into that vision of the fact that like I worked incredibly hard when I was very ill to try and build something. And then they want to buy into that journey and vision of building that with me. And like, you know, I'm not like the normal 22-year-old. I'm not still like, you know, kind of like a clueless kid coming out of uni. I know what I'm doing. I've had a successful business now for almost 6 years. So yeah, we have people who are in their 40s and their 30s, older than me in their 20s. And I think it's just like being very, you know, I think, you know, if you can be friendly with your team, whatever, but also at the end of the day, it's like a business. You need to be firm and direct. And it's like, look, I'm younger, but I'm still your boss, and we have expectations and standards that we have to adhere to. And if you don't, then you're maybe not the right fit for the business.
100%. You have your head screwed on. Like I'd want to work for you. So one of the things we love talking about in the podcast is our biggest adulting failures. The things that we look back on and we think, I really messed up there. I wish I could go back and do that again. Or I learned such a big lesson from making that mistake. For you, what's the one thing that sticks out that you're thinking, I really wish I hadn't done that, or if I could go back? I know, obviously, you know, we look back at it now and we're like, that was meant to happen, so X, Y, Z. But realistically, if you could look back and go, ugh, I had a really big fail there.
Yeah, I think the one thing that strikes for me, and this isn't necessarily like when I was an adult, because I'm only kind of just become an adult. So this is not my first business that I'm doing just now. This is my second business. And when I first got into business and launched my first company, I think I was 15. And I look back on it now and I'm like, that was just, you were just so naive and stupid. It's like, why did you even do that? And like, if I could go back and tell myself, I was like, don't do that at all. So I launched, it's kind of a similar business to what I do right now, but a kind of different business model. It's like basically like I was called a YouTube multi-channel network. You'd partner creators, take a percentage of their ad revenue, provide them services. Very, very simple. I was 15 and I, as I say, had been learning it a lot and I made a bunch of friends online gaming and I played with a bunch of people online that I never met, didn't really know anything about them, right? You just know their online persona. And again, like I was lying about who I was back then. I was Saul Anderson, 2 years older. So, you know, what could they have been? Mm-hmm. And I think I almost got kind of got, was really naive and started trusting this guy who was older a lot more. And I needed a business partner for this company because I was 15 and I needed someone who was 18 to legally be able to run it within the sort of ecosystem we were in. So I basically just gave him half the company. Never met him before, just played video games with him online. I had no idea. I now know what he looks like, and even know what he looked like back then. Mm-hmm. And I just built this business with him. And literally 1 month into it, because he was 18 and had like technically like owned the business in the eyes of law, he just basically screwed me over, took the business after 1 month. And like, I kind of got pushed out of my own company that I'd built and started. And as I say, in hindsight, I'm like, I'm glad it happened. I learned the lesson. I didn't do that with my current company, but it's like, looking back, it's like, that's so stupid. Like anyone would know not to just give half your business to a random guy you met on the internet who I didn't know his real name at the time. I called him Alpha. Like I didn't know his name. Like that was his gamer tag was Alpha. And I didn't know his name. Now I know his name, but like,
what's he doing now?
He's not really doing an awful lot. Funnily enough, he like reached out to me back on Twitter a year or so ago and like asked me for like a job to like work in the business and stuff, which is crazy. But like, you know what? He's doing all right on TikTok. His TikTok's got like 180,000 followers and stuff, but like, he's not really, you know, because obviously having a big TikTok doesn't necessarily mean you're monetizing or making anything of it. He's just not really doing an awful lot, but, which is a shame, but, it was just super, super interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, your story is really interesting. And I think one of the things we really like to put out on the podcast is that despite anyone listening right now, like we are all not perfect. Like anyone who sat on that sofa, they've got flaws. You know, it sounds like obviously everything you've done is amazing, but everyone is working on getting better at something. Yep. For you, what's that one thing that you're trying to work on getting better at in your life at this moment in time?
I think the one thing, and it's really irrelevant to business. I think it's for me, it's more just kind of like spending quality time with people because, obviously last couple of years I've been traveling a lot. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really spending quality time with like close people, close to me, like family, girlfriend, all that stuff. And now all I do right now, as I say, is just work. Mm-hmm. So it's like trying to like be better and learn better of like, you know, being there for my family, spending time with them because, you know, like my grandparents, for example, like, you know, their grandkids are like their whole world. And it's like, but I'm so caught up in business. And like my girlfriend, like I talked to her, but like, I don't really see her as much as I would want to because I'm always working and things like that. So it's like just trying to get better about sort of time management out with of business and, you know, making enough time with the people that are close to you and love you. Because at the end of the day, building a business, making a ton of money at, you know, 22 is great, but that's what's really important. Mm-hmm. So I'm really trying to get better at that. It's so hard to like get out of that, like, you know, mindset of just working nonstop and, you know, there's not enough hours in the day really in my mind, but it's like, I know it needs to happen. And I need to, you know, just allocate, you know, a good amount of time to really improve on, I guess, being with the people that are being there for me.
And I guess that's where your view of like hustle culture ends. You're like, there has to come a point where it's like you hustle, but then you have to be there for your family. And you have to, you know, spend quality time with them because you just don't know, like you don't want to look back and never have any regrets. And I don't think you will ever not regret spending time with the people that you love.
Yeah.
So yeah. Definitely agree on that one. So we always end the podcast by asking our guests what one piece of advice you would give to your 20-year-old self. Well, that was only you like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
But knowing that you've lived 1,000 lives in the life that you have lived, that probably did feel like a really different you even just 2 years ago. So what would you want to say to your 20-year-old self if you could just look back and go, an area in your business that you wish you could shake yourself and go, oh, look at this, or what would you want to say to you at 20?
I would say, I wish I'd discovered the whole concept of leverage earlier. Mm. And the whole idea in Matt is like doing the same input to get a higher output ultimately. And I think I wasn't really at that point. And I wish I'd like, cause obviously I think the business could have grown a lot more cause we were just doing everything for anyone, doesn't matter how big or how small it was. And really it's like, I learned it from a podcast by Stephen Bartlett podcast. He was talking to Alex Hormozi and he was saying that the way he discovered leverage was that he was doing marketing services for companies. And then he thought, where could I do the exact same thing and make more money from? And he started a marketing for companies who were going through an exit process, so that he essentially then got a percentage of them exiting. So I wish I discovered that earlier. It's a bit of a boring one, but I think it's like, if you want to be successful in business, you need to have, you know, working hard and working smart are only one thing, but also like having like that kind of competitive leverage is super important. And you can really, as I say, expedite your progress and your experience if you can just do the same thing, but target bigger clients, work on bigger things and get ultimately bigger output for yourself. So that's really what we've been doing a lot more, is we have like minimum budgets now. We don't work with anyone under this, or we find the kind of, I guess, clients that are going to be good to work with and we can extract more out of, and ultimately more for them as well and higher value. And then that ultimately just expands the business and enterprise value a lot more for us.
I love that. You have given so much value in this podcast. I have absolutely loved it. This has been one of my favorite episodes. I'll probably listen back to it and like constantly, because, you know, with my favorite episode, my favorite guest, I think it really does sum up so many elements of your 20s that, you know, it's not just about business. We've talked about lifestyle. We've talked about health. We've talked about so many different things. And I just think your outlook on life is really, really cool. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great to chat to you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been amazing. Thanks so much.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure you like and subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and come back next week for another episode. We can't wait to see you there.